Carmen and Yurko. Rewind.
You remember, I know, when I talk old movies, he gets upset.
I know.
The Natural.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
The Natural is based on a book.
Right.
In the end of the movie,
right.
everything good happens.
Rosy.
At the end of the book,
right.
Not so much.
Out. That's why Rocky's great.
Yeah.
That's why the original Rocky was great. Because he lost.
Right.
Because after all of that.
Well, he knew he was going to do six more. You know,
I mean, like,
see, we can deal with someone losing.
Yes,
it's okay.
Yes.
I agree. Not everything has to be fixed at
exactly.
the end.
Right.
It's okay.
And that's why Rocky was so great.
Yeah. Rocky 2 was better, though.
You're crazy.
Rocky 2 was better.
You're out of your mind.
Rocky 2 was pretty good.
Out of your mind.
Welcome in to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. Sing in for Carmen and Yurko today. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 2:30 today, walking you into pregame coverage of the Pinstripe Bowl. Heard right here on ESPN 1000. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776, or you can tweet at us on Twitter. We'll get back to you throughout the show. It's a Football Friday, week 17 in the NFL. The end of the football season for teams not going to the playoffs is here, and the Bears have one more game against the Minnesota Vikings.
A game that means nothing for either team. Dalvin Cook has already been ruled out, Ian Rapoport saying that, so you're going to see a bunch of the Vikings either not play or play a couple series, and then they might get pulled, but ultimately, this is a game about one thing and one thing only, Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy trying to continue this growth of the offense and trying to build on something for next season, because we all know Trubisky's going to be back, Nagy's not going anywhere, Pace isn't going anywhere, they have to add to, some pieces to this offense, help this offensive line, add a tight end, maybe add a quarterback in the second round or later in the draft, or sign one, have a real competition. But ultimately, this team, this game tomorrow is more about next year than this year, this current year, because this year's over.
We have a lot of gambling conversation this hour to get ready for week 17 in the NFL. Doug Kazarian from ESPN, the Daily Wager show on ESPN2. He'll join us at 1:30 in about 30 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. And 1:45, Mike North will give us his best play of the weekend, odds couple host on ESPN 1000. So we have a lot of gambling to do in the back half hour of this hour. But right now we talk Bears with you at 312-332-3776. You know, Abdallah, if we go back to 2016, do you remember that season for the Chicago Bears?
What a time to be alive.
It was year two with John Fox.
Oh, not good.
Yeah, not good at all. The Bears went 3-13 that season. Jay Cutler started five games for the Bears. Brian Hoyer started five games for the Bears. Matt Barkley started six games for the Chicago Bears. Their leading receiver was Cameron Meredith.
Ugh.
Their leading rusher was Jordan Howard. That offense was not very good. That offense that year in 2016, they were 14th in yards per play. In rush attempts, they were 25th. In yards, passing yards attempted, they were 11th in the National Football League. In points per game, they were 29th. The reason I bring that up is because I was thinking back to the John Fox era and how bad Bears football was at that time, how bad the offense was at that time. And when you look at the numbers, the Bears this season, they are a worse offense than what we saw with John Fox in year two, going 3-13 in 2016. The Bears offense this season, 30th in points per game. In yards per play, they are 31st. In yards pass attempted, they are 32nd in the National Football League. It's hard to believe a team with Cutler starting five games, Matt Barkley starting six, and Brian Hoyer starting another five for a 3-13 team, that offense was more productive than the offense we saw this season with an offensive genius in Matt Nagy and a franchise quarterback, in air quotes, in Mitch Trubisky.
Well, just look at the fall from last year to this year. I mean, in 2018, they were 21st in yards per game and 9th in points per game. You went from 9th in points per game last year to 30th in points per game. And it's not all just, oh, Jordan Howard left, so they forgot how to run the ball. That has nothing to do with it. You can scheme for running backs. You have to be able to work your offensive line and work your running backs the right way. Running Tariq Cohen up the middle is not going to work. Tariq Cohen's 3 feet tall. He's not going to get through any holes.
He's taller than 3 feet.
He's 3 feet tall. It's an illusion. He has really big spikes on his shoes.
Oh, okay.
He's actually only 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
But
quick sidebar. When he runs, he looks like Mario, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Like, He's got the little, like it's a bad 16-bit game. But you have that it's on Matt Nagy, it's on Mitchell Trubisky, it's on the offensive line. We've taken calls all season. It's on this guy. It's on this. Look, guys, it's on everybody. Everybody failed this year. Every single person on that side of the ball failed. The defense is fine. The defense, yeah, regressed a little bit. You had Akeem Hicks hurt for a few games this season. He's a huge part of that defense. He's the second best player on that defense right after Khalil Mack. You saw what he did when he came back, going out there with basically a third of an elbow. Just one joint worked. One little tiny piece of the elbow worked. The rest of it was all like in this huge brace. Yeah. He was a warrior out there, okay? But ultimately, this is every person on that offense failed this year, except for Allen Robinson. He was great this year. But other than him, offensive coordinators, Matt Nagy, play calling, offensive line, quarterback, you need a complete, not necessarily overhaul, but you need to get better. And the only way you get better is if you have a competition for Mitchell Trubisky, because going right now, you look at what the Vikings have been able to do. You look at what the Packers, and everybody thought, I don't know what the Packers, Matt LaFleur, he might not be it. He might not be the guy. Well, guess what? They're first in the NFC North. They're going to the playoffs. The Vikings are going to the playoffs. I don't know if this team is going to be a playoff team next season. We might be in for a two-year drought here. I know they made it last year, but ultimately you might be looking at 2 years in a row with Matt Nagy, with them not making the playoffs, because I don't know if this is fixable next season if you go into the season with Mitchell Trubisky as your quarterback.
2 weeks ago on a Football Friday, I sat in for David Kaplan, and I was with Shea Pepler-Cornett, and we had Jeff Dickerson on. And I asked JD at the time, so this is 2 weeks ago, remember, before the Packers game. Mm-hmm. I asked JD, this Bears team, are they closer to the true identity that we saw last season, a 12-4 team, a playoff team? They hosted a playoff round last season. Or are they more to the true self of a sub-500 team, which Bears fans were staring in the eyes this weekend? Yes, they can win on Sunday, and they will be a 500 team to end the season. They also could lose, and it'll be a 7-9 season for the Bears. So I asked JD, who covers the Chicago Bears for us here at ESPN 1000, what is the closer true self to this Bears team? Here's JD.
I would say that let's see how the last three games play out. So if they actually win two of these three and like look good doing it, still finish 9-7, miss the playoffs, whatever, I would say they're closer to that team that we saw last year, but they had some bad luck. They had some unexpected, horrible offensive performances across the board in the middle of the year. But if they go out and they finish 7-9 and they get blown out this weekend and look bad against the Chiefs, the Vikings, what have you, I would say they're closer to 8-8. I think these last three games will determine the answer to your question. It's a good question, and it's an important question, Chris, because if they're closer to last year's team, then you have a feeling like, okay, maybe 2020 will be a bounce-back year and they'll be back in the playoffs. But if they're closer to an 8-8 type team, then you don't have a lot of expectation going into next season. So it's a great question. And I think the next 3 weeks will uncover that for us.
So that's Jeff Dickerson about 2 weeks ago here on ESPN 1000. And Abdallah, so the question is this. Can this team make the playoffs? Do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season? I think the question we should ask, and I misspoke there, we should just ask, do you think the Bears will make the playoffs? Because can they? Yeah, sure they can. It's the NFL. Every team's 8-8 except for a couple that are really good and a couple that are really bad. Each year, it depends on how the ball bounces, turnovers, all this stuff. Every team in the National Football League, for the most part, can make the playoffs on a year-to-year basis. Do most teams make the playoffs? No, they don't. There are teams who haven't made the playoffs in years. Mm-hmm. Teams that are bad like the Bears, like the Browns. Those are the teams that don't make the playoffs very often. But do you think the Bears will make the playoffs? That's the question here.
All things considered this year, if they go in, if everything is the same as this year, no. Because you look at the Packers, they're going to be good. You look at the Vikings, they're still going to be good. And you look at the Bears, right now, they're still the third best team in the division. You know, the Lions might be better next year. You never know with the Lions. They could be, like you said, they're an 8-8 team, and then if two games go their way, they could be a 10-6 team. They could be a 6-10 team. But ultimately, I think right now, the Packers are still the class of the division, then it's the Vikings, and then it's the Bears. Because, yeah, they may have a great defense again, but if you can't score points and you're 30th in points per game again, you're not going to make the playoffs. Simple as that. And some news from the Bears right now. The injury report is out. Taylor Gabriel's not going to play with a concussion. Eddie Goldman's not going to play with a concussion. Akeem Hicks is not going to play with a concussion. Bobby Massey and Rashad Coward are both doubtful. Prince Amukamara is questionable.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the breaking news.
Wait, what's that? Beep, 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 beep. I just had to listen. I got to get it out there.
But you know, I said thank you. That was me saying thank you. To your point, though, if you look at the division, the Green Bay Packers, 12-3, right? They're a playoff team. They went 5-0 in the division, right? Mm-hmm. Their final game this weekend, they can go 6-0. Minnesota, 10-5 on the season. They went 2-3 in the division. We'll see if the Bears can beat them in this last game. The Bears, if they win in this last game, will go 4-2 in the division. But I agree. I would kind of stack, as we look ahead to next year, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, then Detroit. Now, Football Outsiders, they're the ones that came up with the DVOA stat. Mm-hmm. When they looked ahead at this football season, they suggested that all four teams in the division were about 8-8. They suggested that this would be the toughest division in football to win because every team, based on the statistics going into the year, were about the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think the Bears would jump from the 12-4 season right back into that level. They thought they would sink right back to 8-8, like we're staring right in the face coming up this weekend.
Well, and don't forget this, too. Yeah, the Bears are playing for nothing this week against the Vikings. But the way the division shook out and the last couple weeks shook out, if the Bears would have beaten the Packers and the Chiefs, this week would mean something. They'd be playing for a spot in the playoffs against the Vikings.
Right.
They have a chance. They had a chance to make the playoffs 2 weeks ago when you had that game against the Packers, and then obviously the game against the Chiefs didn't mean anything because they were out of it by then. But had they won those two games, we'd be previewing a playoff game, essentially. This would be the Bears' first playoff game against the Vikings, and you can't forget that going into next season. But you also have to remember that at the beginning of the season, you and I said, look, I'm never going to count out Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got a new coach. Yeah, the offense is going to look different, but ultimately Aaron Rodgers has been more efficient this season, and they found ways to get it done. He said it the other day. He doesn't need to score 40 touchdowns a year for them to win. They can find ways to win. He's that good of a quarterback that they can find ways to win without him having 40, 45 touchdowns. So you have to keep them at the top next season. The Vikings are still better. They've proven it year in and year out so far. And right now, the Bears, third best.
The question on the table is, do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season? 312-332-3776. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah singing in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. First up is Jack in Chicago listening on ESPN 1000. Jack, do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season?
No. And the problem with the Bears is that Trubisky does not have a football IQ. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have football instincts. And as long as he's playing, the Bears won't make it to the playoffs unless they upgrade their offensive line. But the issue is Trubisky. He just doesn't have it.
Jack, who would you like at quarterback next season?
I really don't know. I mean, I can play quarterback, but I'm 85, so I don't think I have a chance. But I always believed, and I was friends with Jim Finks, that you always go first for your offensive line and always draft the quarterback no matter where.
Appreciate the phone call, Jack. Whoop. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Have a nice holiday.
You too, Jack. We appreciate it.
Jack has seen a lot of bad quarterbacks in this town.
It sounded like
sure
the quarterbacks have hurt Jack.
Yeah.
Did you hear the noise he made at the start?
I hear the pain in his voice, and all he wants to see is another championship. And I get that. There's been so many bad quarterbacks. All he wants is a quarterback. And don't tell me that, oh, all they need is Trubisky to be a game manager. Game managers have won like one out of every 10 Super Bowls. It doesn't work. You want one Super Bowl? Okay, fine. Fine. Get Alex Smith. All right? That's fine. But if you want to win, you need real quarterback play. You need elite quarterback play. I'm sick of it. Jack is sick of it. He's still there.
Could you imagine, you and I, when we're 85, if we don't have a quarterback, what we would sound like?
I told you. It goes all the way back in 2017. They drafted Trubisky. I told you from the... I'll still be talking the same, too. I told you from the jump. He's not the guy. He has no swag. I'll still be using all the same stuff.
Trubisky was the least lit quarterback we've ever seen.
That they tried to do Club Dub. Club Dub was lit after every game, except for when he didn't perform.
Back in my day, when I saw Trubisky throw interceptions. Let's go to Rick in Des Plaines. Rick, you're on ESPN 1000. Will the Bears make the playoffs next season?
Yes, they will, if they do this one thing. You trade Trubisky, Tariq Cohen, and Roquan Smith to whoever has the number one draft pick, and you get Joe Burrow.
What the?
Thank you for the call, Rick. Can we bring in Randy Merkin here? Randy, producing this show. Yes. Randy, have we fallen into a time warp where we are? What is going on here?
That was a great
Trubisky,
call.
Yes. Roquan Smith, and Tariq Cohen.
Why not?
For Joe Burrow?
It's a fun trade.
Get the trade machine on that one.
All right, let's see. Let's go 3 for 3 here. Let's see if Bill can follow suit. Bill is in Skokie.
Bill,
what do you have to offer to the program here?
Bill! Randy.
This is the best. This is outstanding. this is a good segment.
I'll go back to imitating me and myself when I'm 85, if I have to.
I've got tears in my eyes. This is great.
I tell you what, people called and they said Mac wasn't playing well. That's BS! He was playing fine! He was double-teamed and triple-teamed!
Let me tell you about the double-team with Khalil Mack.
Okay, we're talking about New Year's resolutions, too. The Roaring Twenties are coming. I'm only talking like that.
Bill is here. Bill, your thoughts on the Bears.
Bill.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Bill.
We're great.
Good. I was watching the Kansas City game, and there are a couple of things that just baffled me. Khalil Mack is our best pass rusher, and they have this guy chipping the tight end. Why don't you have someone else chip the tight end? Allen Robinson is our best receiver, and there are a couple of plays he's in the backfield. So there's a lot of blame to go around, not just Mitch.
That's a good call. I appreciate it, Bill. No. And I would have expected to see more from Khalil Mack this year, too. If he's a top five player, don't you expect more production?
Yes, but you have to understand that teams scheme for him. And there are very few plays in a game where he is single blocked. Every single play, he is double teamed. And because of that, that factored in with the Akeem Hicks injury, you didn't have guys that were able to get... When Akeem Hicks is healthy, Khalil Mack plays better. Because you have to scheme for Akeem Hicks and for Khalil Mack. And with Danny Trevathan hurt as well, all those guys being out with Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks, it was hard for the defense to get pressure on guys.
Adam Abdallah, Chris Bleck in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's go to George in Old Town. Do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season? What do you think, George?
I think they will if they like listen to you guys and make some decent picks. I mean, you mentioned the draft yesterday. Not the draft, but the free agency is in key. And you got to bring competition in. I'd love to get Jalen Hurts in the second round. Bring in some competition, but we got to get some free agent offensive tackles. Who are the guys? Is it Jack Conklin? Is it Brian Beluga who will be available? Who are the guys that we need two tackles? So no matter who is going to be behind the offensive line, they got to have some blocking in order for either Trubisky or the new competition to succeed. So who are these guys?
Thank you for the call, George. We appreciate it. I feel like there's two people in this world. Mm-hmm. There are people who think the quarterback makes the rest of the offense, and there are people who think the offensive line and the blocking make the quarterback. I was at Christmas dinner and Christmas Eve, and there's relatives and people coming up to me asking me about this Bears team, and my first thought with everything is, you know, you get an average quarterback, I think a lot of things fix itself. And the response I get to from a lot of people, and George has mentioned it there, I think we got to fix the blocking and pass protection for the quarterback. Which are you?
It's all bad. No, they're both bad eggs. If your quarterback is better, he can make up for poor offensive line play. When your quarterback, look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's been running for his life back there the last couple of years, and he's made decent plays, and he's made it work. Look at Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, when he's healthy, look at his season he's having this year. He's still getting killed back there. You have to have an offensive line, but elite quarterback play makes up for the lack of offensive line play.
Let's go to Harold in Chicago, listening on ESPN 1000. Harold, do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season?
Yeah, I think the Bears will make the playoffs next season. What I see the problem is, like the other caller just said, is we need an offensive line that can block, and also they got to know how to run block. You can't do anything if you can't run the football. There's no throwing the football down the field. And Mitchell Trubisky needs with someone that can teach them. He got with Jim McMahon. And Jim McMahon, or somebody could show him how to read defenses. He can't read defenses. That's what I see the problem is. If those three things get fixed with the Bears, then they will make the playoffs with no problem.
All right. Thank you, Harold, for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Justin in Lockport. You're on ESPN 1000. What do you think, Justin?
I think they have a shot next year on one thing. Let's get someone like Teddy Bridgewater in here. How much money would it take for him to come to the Bears, and we create a competition until Trubisky fades out?
How much money will it take to get Bridgewater in here?
What does it take to get someone like Teddy Bridgewater on this team and still
20
call
to 25
it a
million?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Justin.
Oh, and still call it a competition? So you can't bring Bridgewater in and call it a competition.
Yeah. No,
Teddy Bridgewater is not coming here if he's not the starter.
Yeah, and I think it would take, a week for them to realize that Bridgewater is a better quarterback. Like, think about all the shaded commentary from Matt Nagy about Trubisky this season. Mm-hmm. All he wants is a quarterback to be able to just run his system.
Yeah.
He doesn't want a quarterback to do the Pat Mahomes throwing for 75 yards on the fly and making no-look passes. He wants a guy to read the progressions and get the ball out of his hands and into the playmakers to get the offense facilitated to run. That's exactly what Teddy Bridgewater could do.
It's simple math. You're not picking up Trubisky's option and paying Teddy Bridgewater. If you sign Teddy Bridgewater, you're going to have to get rid of Trubisky. You can't do both.
Okay.
You can't do both.
You don't have to do that this offseason. You don't have to give Trubisky new money this
season. You have to pick up his option, though. Isn't it like $25 million?
I don't think so. This offseason?
I don't know.
I think you have to wait another year before
Okay.
That.
It's a lot of money.
Listen, if you bring in Bridgewater, yeah, I'm down with that. I like Justin's idea. I would like to see a capable quarterback running this offensive system. I think that's exactly what we need for the Chicago Bears. Let's go to Eddie on the north side on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How you doing? What they need to do is put Trubisky on the block and go get Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he'll bring excitement to the quarterback position. He's not afraid to throw it down the line. He's not afraid to call options at the line. And he's a better quarterback than Trubisky. And I don't know if we can pick him up, but he's exciting. He looks good. He's passing. And he's just looking like fun to watch. That's what we need in Chicago. And if we can get a number one draft pick for Trubisky, then we're in line to draft a quarterback and they can sit behind him. And I think that's what happened. Nagy is doing what he's doing because he knows bad quarterbacks make coaches lose their job, period. So why should he adjust? The reason he's calling the play he is because he knows he's not capable of doing it. He doesn't want to lose games. The more games he loses reflects on his record. Who cares about the quarterback? He knows he's bad anyway.
All right, Eddie, I appreciate the phone call, my friend. And he makes a good point. I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the answer, though. I would prefer to have a little bit better, more accomplished quarterback than someone like Fitzpatrick, because I think if he's the one that the Bears go out and get, Trubisky's going to still be your starter.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a problem going forward. Now listen, I love all these phone calls. Mm. Bleck and Abdallah singing in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We will continue taking your phone calls this hour on the Chicago Bears. We're going to get a gambling break for the football weekend with Doug Kazarian coming up next. But I have to ask you this, Abdallah. when Jack was talking to us, did you think that was a prank caller?
No.
I kind of felt like that could have been a prank.
No. I don't think it's a prank because, listen.
You felt people, the hurt? I felt the pain. The Bears quarterback hurt in his voice?
You can't make up that kind of pain. Jack has seen some stuff, okay?
And yeah,
you
bad can't, quarterback play.
And you can't, that's not something that you can fake. That's not something you can act. I mean, listen, that's Daniel Day-Lewis couldn't bring that kind of pain that I felt in Jack's voice.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. In for Carmen and Yurko. We talk with Doug Kazarian next here on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
You know how excited everyone is. You know how excited they're going to be. This is definitely a week you don't have to try at all to get your team up for the game. It'll be the same thing for them. You know, just the times I've been in this situation in the past, it's extremely fun to coach. You have everyone's attention. Everyone is completely into it. No stone goes unturned by anyone. You don't have to push anyone on that. So be prepared and then just cut a loop.
49ers look awesome. You know, they're playing great football. They had a great win last week, and they'll be as great a test as we could play. Disappointed that we didn't go into it with momentum, you know, but we're going to recreate it here during the week.
That's Kyle Shanahan and Pete Carroll previewing the 49ers and the Seahawks. That's the Sunday night game this weekend. Week 17 in the NFL. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, sing in for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black as we preview Week 17. The Bears and the Vikings, Adam. You know, this game doesn't mean anything in the standings, but clearly the Bears want to end the season 500. It matters to look back and not be a sub-500 team as you prepare for the offseason going ahead into next season.
And even though the game doesn't mean anything for the players on the field, it means something for our wallets.
Chris. Absolutely. As you and I will be putting together teasers with every single noon kick as I try to convince you each and every week throughout the football season.
Stop. Don't put. If you put the Dolphins in the teaser, they're a 17-point dog. If you put the Dolphins in the teaser this Sunday, well, we're done.
It's the two teams. The two teams this season. It's the Dolphins, who I keep going back to, and the Falcons at the start of the year. There's no one more phonier than the Atlanta Falcons with all the fantasy football players on offense, yet they don't win football games. And then now, all of a sudden, at the end of the season, they're beating good teams.
And, like, I'm good on Saturday, but Sunday, the only way I get back to even is from teasers. I lose so much money, and then it's like, all right, I hit a teaser. All right, we're back. Let's do this.
Let's preview the gambling weekend with Doug Kazarian from ESPN. He hosts the Daily Wager at 5 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. You can follow Doug on Twitter at DougESPN. Doug, it's Chris and Adam today, and as we look ahead to the Bears and the Vikings, is there an angle we should play this weekend for the Bears game?
Well, gentlemen, good to be with you as always. Week 17, always pretty wonky, and this Vikings-Bears game is Exhibit A, right? The Vikings cannot improve or hurt their playoff seeding, and the Bears, as we all know, have been eliminated. So the Vikings looks like are not going to play their starters. Dalvin Cook is out, we know that. And so the line's steamed up. The Bears are actually now favored in Minneapolis, and it's a three-point line right now. It was Minnesota minus one all week, which was kind of fishy in and of itself, but because of the Vikings playing on Monday night, short week, and the way it all kind of unfolded, we didn't get that news, and then now the Bears are full 3 points favorite. I guess I get it. You know, Vikings have their kind of sights set elsewhere, but it's hard to lay that many points with the Bears' offense, and especially in a game that has such a low over-under of 36. So those are kind of the moving parts we have here. Cousins is out, Cook out. I mean, you know, it's just that wonky, like, you know, nonsense of Week 17, kind of like the preseason, where if you have an edge, great. If you don't, certainly understandable.
But the Bears have been an under machine. Do you like a side in the total?
You know, I like the under at 37, not as much at 36, but you're absolutely right. The Bears, with that vaunted defense, now they're not going to get 28 interceptions like they did last year. But, I mean, just quick math here. They've gone under 7 of their last 9, so certainly an under team. I would have to play under before I play over, for sure.
Doug Kazarian from ESPN joining Chris Black and Adam Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Another noon kick that I'm looking at because I don't really know what the Falcons are. And the Bucs have been a fun team. They score a lot of points. Tampa Bay's the favorite by a point and a half. What would you do with this contest?
Yeah, I'm on the over here. Jameis Winston, just fascinating stat lines this year. He leads the league in passing yards, leads the league in interceptions by a mile, and he's right there at the top in touchdown passes. I mean, it's incredible what he's done this year. The Bucks have gone over in 11 of their last 13 games. So Winston is just an over machine in that regard. But, you know, he's obviously missing Godwin and Evans here, but I'll still take the over in that game. Over 47 it is.
One of the games that still kind of means something, the Eagles and the Giants. The Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite, and the total's around 45. How do you see this one?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is both these teams are favorites. Now, the Eagles are on the road, and they're laying 4, 4.5, and the Cowboys are laying 11 at home, 10.5, 11. I think I would have to lean to the dog in both cases. Definitely Washington, and then probably Philly plus the points, but Giants plus the points, but just because you see, you know, there's some flashes of hope with Daniel Jones and Saquon, and an Eagles offense that is limited with the injuries. I'd have to keep an eye on Lane Johnson. If he's out, then I'm definitely on the Giants plus the points.
In one of the late windows, we have the Titans on the road at Houston, Texans and Titans, and that game matters. When you look at Tennessee this season, can you kind of describe, like, when you look at the expectation from Vegas and what this team has done week to week, it's been really surprising how the Tennessee Titans are in this playoff conversation.
Absolutely. And it's literally as simple as Ryan Tannehill instead of Marcus Mariota. This team started 2-4, and their season win total was about 8. So 500 team projected in this division behind the Texans and maybe even behind the Colts, depending on how things played out. But Mariota was that bad, started out 2-4. And he was just a bad quarterback. Like, there's just no other way to put it. Tannehill comes in, and the team is lights out as a starter. In fact, they've gone over in every single game he started except for one. So Tannehill's just shot in the arm of the offense. It's sort of skewing the power ratings that have been diluted with Mariota as the quarterback. And it makes sense. It's not just like an outside linebacker that's replaced. It's the most important position in all of sports, so it's that influential. And last week they kind of gave away the game, and it was weird because they started strong. But I think with Derrick Henry playing, I think this line's going to go up because of Houston needs Kansas City to lose, and the Chiefs I don't expect to lose. So I think this line, as crazy as it is to see Tennessee's a 3.5-point favorite on the road at Houston, I still think it's going to go up once sort of things play out and even closer to kickoff.
The night game on Sunday night, 49ers and Seahawks. The 49ers won their last game against the Rams, 34-31. The Seahawks lost against the Cardinals in a weird game for them, 27-13. The 49ers are about a 3-point, 3.5-point favorite, depending on where you get it. How do you see this one?
Yeah, this line opened 3. Got bet up to 3.5 or really heavy juice on 3, minus $1.25. Look, the public's on the Niners. But I'm on the Niners, too. It's hard to trust the Seattle team that has won so many close games. Now, San Francisco's pretty banged up on D. They have some key guys out. I've been so impressed with the Niners in every big game, except for the Monday night where they actually lost to the Seahawks. But that game was really weird. No George Kittle. Had a lot of drops early. San Fran could have buried them early. I like the Niners to go up there and get this win, cover the 3, 3.5, and get the 1 seed in the NFC.
Doug Kazarian on the phone with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Doug, this is not specifically for this weekend with the New England Patriots, but I feel like a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon as we head towards the playoffs with this team. Do you think it's smart to kind of look at the Patriots as a team that's weaker when we look at the playoff teams in the AFC, or are they kind of like the sleeping giant that people always don't really expect to be there, and then all of a sudden Belichick has a great game plan, and Brady looks like the old Brady? How should we kind of play the Patriots as we head into the playoffs?
Well, at some point, there's going to be a passing the torch, and this year was really close with the Bills. Both games were really tight, but they're still the Patriots, and they still get it done with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The thing is, with all these streaks, so to speak, and any hot streak, whatever, you can only be wrong once. You can only be wrong once if you bet on them, right? You try to ride the streak, but if you try to keep fading them and they keep covering, then you can be wrong multiple times. So I'd be very careful trying to, like, catch the Patriots at the right spot. But they're obviously not as potent as in years past. I thought they played pretty well against the Bills. And I would just say tread carefully there.
In college football, coming up at 2:20, we're leading into coverage of the new era Pinstripe Bowl against Michigan State and Wake Forest. Wake Forest, one of the fastest teams in the country. Michigan State plays that slower tempo, grinds it out on defense type of style. How do you have a play in this one?
Yeah, I lean to Wake Forest here because it looks like Jamie Newman's going to play, the star quarterback for the Demon Deacons, had been nursing an injury. It looks like he's good to go, and also some other key players. I've been against Sparty all year. I've been against most of the Big Ten as well. Michigan State, now, with that being said, I liked them over their win total, but I sensed early it was time to punt, and I've been fading them a lot. I just think they're so pedestrian on offense, and Wake Forest leads the nation in plays per game, so a high tempo, high volume of play. And I just think that Clawson's crew is going to get it done. And you're getting 4 points here. I'll grab the candy there.
Doug Kazarian from the Daily Wager. You can watch on ESPN2, 5 p.m. Central Time each and every weekday on ESPN2 with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Tomorrow, the college football playoff, Oklahoma and LSU is the first game. The over-under is set at 76. What do you think is going to happen in this contest?
You know, this is a weird game. I agree with the line move. It opened 9.5, 10 immediately on that selection Sunday, got bumped up to 13, and that feels about right. I mean, just what we've seen, what the betting public has seen last with LSU. I can't lay the two touchdowns. It's, anytime it touches 14, people come in and grab the 14, it goes back to 13.5. So, for me, I'm actually going to play the first quarter under. Not a big play, but 17 feels like a lot. And I think Oklahoma's offense has some limitations. I think they should take the air out of the ball. That's what I would do if I were going against this LSU offense. When I have the ball, I would take it pretty slowly. So that would be my 2 cents on this game. But I would just take a small piece of the under 17 first quarter.
What about the second game, Ohio State, now the underdog? Clemson opened as the dog as 2.5. Now they're a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is at 63. How do you see the second game?
I like Clemson here. Look, they've won 28 straight games, right? And now they're laying 2.5. I respect what Ohio State did. I know all the power ratings, but when Ohio State has played teams, with mediocre offenses, like Michigan, Wisconsin, the Big Ten title game, some of the, they gave up some points and some yards. And look, we're splitting hairs. This is going to be an awesome game. But when you're splitting hairs, you are allowed to fine-tune some things and with a fine tone, and I think that's the one weakness I think of Ohio State. They give up big plays and they give up some yardage to mediocre offense. I didn't see that out of Clemson, and I think the Tigers made the the ACC look a lot worse than people realize it is. I mean, look at North Carolina opening up a can right now on Temple. Now they were the team that almost beat Clemson, but look, this Tigers team's covered like 6 games in a row or whatever it is. They're rolling. I just Trevor Lawrence doesn't lose. I'm going to lay the short number. He can't be afraid to lose it.
Yeah, I think both Abdallah and I kind of agree with you. I think we're kind of looking at this and we're surprised that so many people are riding with the Buckeyes and not really giving enough credit to what this Clemson team has done over the course of the last two football seasons.
Oh, I didn't realize. So everyone I talk to in my space and all that is all on Clemson. So I'm glad to hear there's some other people out there, that are on the other side.
Is there a best play of the weekend that we should keep our eyes on, Doug?
You know, I like Clemson a lot. I like Air Force team total over. I just think their rushing attack and how bad Washington State rushing defense is. I would say the team total over 35. But I think my favorite play is USC tonight, catching 2 in the Holiday Bowl. This team's ranked 12th in the nation in offensive efficiency. I don't think Iowa has any speed to hang with this Trojans wide receiver core. And the most important, there's stability on that USC coaching staff. There were some rumors about Clay Helton. Even Graham Harrell, the offense coordinator, flirted with other schools, namely Texas. I think the fact that he's back, true freshman quarterback Keaton Slovis, seemingly gets better every game. I like USC to be really potent on offense tonight.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good luck to everyone. Happy New Year.
You too. Doug Kazarian from ESPN, The Daily Wager, 5 p.m. Central Time, right on ESPN2. You can also follow Doug on Twitter at DougESPN. How about that, Abdallah? Trojans tonight. I agree.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Fight on.
No, I mean, that's such a tough game to handicap because the Big Ten gets so hyped for bowl games.
The counter stat to what Doug said in the efficient offense for the USC is the Hawkeyes have one of the best defenses in all of college football. They're ranked in the top 20 in almost every single important category defensively. So it's going to be a really good game. This hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Catch the Chicago Wolves in person at Allstate Arena this Sunday, December 29th at 3 p.m. against the Milwaukee Admirals. Get your tickets at ChicagoWolves.com. So, I mean, are you coming over for a USC watch party at my house tonight, Abdallah? I'll order pizza. You want some pizza?
No.
You can hang out with... We can... Okay. Bluck and Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you're on hold and you want to talk Bears, we will get you on the air. That's coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah singing for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. If you are on hold, we will get you on. So hang in there at 312-332-3776. In 10 minutes, we will continue talking about the Chicago Bears. But Abdallah, we are previewing the football weekend overall, the college football playoff, and week 17 in the NFL. A lot of good gambling talk this hour.
Yeah, you had all the college football playoff games are tomorrow. You've got some money-making opportunities.
Tonight,
Washington State over 69.5.
Is that where you're putting some Abdallah dollars down?
I love taking Washington State over, so yes.
There's a segment. Let's sell that. What? Abdallah dollars.
Abdallah dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to say. Abdallah
it's just
dollars.
Me with two money guns.
Yeah. It's just shooting off singles. Odds Couple, you can hear them tomorrow. Fred Huebner and Mike North on ESPN 1000 at 8 a.m. And now we go to Mike North for his best play of the weekend. What's up, Mike?
Hey, hi, Chris. Hi, Adam. How you guys doing? And I love a guy that says, I love the over with Washington State. You got to love getting ready for tonight. The Air Force against Washington State. Maybe a lean towards Washington State in that one tonight, too, guys. I think it's like a 2.5-point spread. But you know what? I like the NFL. There's some teams. Look, Oakland Raiders playing Denver. Denver giving Oakland 3. Gruden said last week he's looking forward to him and Mayock crushing it in the draft. They got like 5 picks in the first 2-3 rounds, and there's still guys playing for jobs. And with the help of about 800 other teams, Raiders, if they win, can somehow get into the playoffs. I don't want to get into all the particulars now, but they are going to need some help. But I do like the Raiders getting 3 points. They've covered the last 3 games out of the that they've played Denver in. Also, Denver has had trouble covering this year. They've been better of late with Fangio. But I like the Oakland Raiders getting the 3 points tonight. Sunday, guys.
Mike, is there anything else we should keep our eyes on for the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's going to be something while you guys are on the air going on. I think tonight, I sort of like, not Texas A&M, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Going against Wake Forest, which is coming up shortly. I think it's been a tough year for Michigan State, no doubt about it. They always have some issues clouding the situation, Chris and stuff, and Adam. So I think that Michigan State could cure a lot of ills after having just a 500 season with a win today. And I think Wake Forest has been a public favorite all year long.
All right, Mike, thank you. We'll be listening tomorrow at 8 a.m.
All right, you guys have a good one. Happy New Year.
You too. The Odds Couples. Usually it's Carmen DeFalco and Mike North. Carmen's off today, so mm-hmm. Fred Huebner is singing in, and you will hear the guys tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app.
And as he mentioned, we've got the Pinstripe Bowl coming up. That's why the guys will be on at 8 a.m. Tomorrow and not in their usual slot tonight.
First Miss Whitewood Spank presents this segment here on ESPN 1000. Maybe you're ready to be a homeowner or looking towards retiring a little early. When you have plans, First Midwest Bank has ideas to help bring them to life. From personal loans to mortgages to home improvement loans and more, the experts at First Midwest Bank will work with you to help give you and your family momentum for life. If you have plans, First Midwest Bank has ideas. Talk to one of our expert bankers today and learn more at firstmidwestbank.com/ideas. First Midwest, your local Chicago bank. Loans subject to credit approval. Bleck and Abdallah singing in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Do you think the Bears will make the playoffs next season? We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776 on that coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
So we all huddled there with the listeners. We had like a circle of junk. where like people had their it was their
afternoons from 2 to 6.
Look, see, oh, 6.
I was expecting a 7.5 from you at minimum. That's what I was expecting.
Exactly, 7.5
on ESPN 1000.
The great Randy Moss joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Man, Tom Waddle is the OG. I watched Tom Waddle play back in the day, so I know.
Tom Waddle.
And he let the pass go to Waddle. It is a catch, and it'll be a bare first down.
I played basketball until I was a sophomore, and I turned it over 1,000 times per game, so I just quit. So I don't have a ton of basketball knowledge.
Former Bears receiver.
That guy's a football player.
The Waddle Foam Network. Imagine responding to calls from across the city. A hero for everyone. You can see it, can't you? Join us at Team Waddle. Your destiny awaits.
Mark Silverman.
Now you wonder what they'd do if they didn't have Waddle.
And there are different places that you can rent animals from. So maybe we can find ourselves a donkey. Do I say donkey weird? Well, yeah, I mean, I think that would be fun. I've never tried that, never measured it.
On ESPN Chicago. What?
Welcome in to Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah sitting in for Waddle and Sylvie now. Our third show, Abdallah, we did it.
We did it. Three shows across three covers.
We traveled three galaxies across three shows, and we are now in the Waddle and Sylvie time slot here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's our mini radiothon.
You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 2:30 on ESPN 1000, and we'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Previewing Week 17, the Chicago Bears facing off against the Minnesota Vikings, but more importantly, looking ahead at next season. Do you think this Bears team will make the playoffs? And Abdallah, I want to start this hour with this idea. You know how people look ahead at 2020 or whatever year it is when we get to this 2 weeks before New Year's?
Mm-hmm.
And some people start putting together what they call vision boards. Have you ever put together a vision board? Does Adam Abdallah sit and collage together a vision board?
I have never put together a vision board, no.
Now, if you are a Bears fan, if you are a Chicago sports fan, what would you put on your vision board? Are you familiar with what a vision board is?
I understand the concept of a vision board.
Okay, so what people do is they get a bunch of magazines together, and I'm just trying to fill people in.
And
you cut out things.
Tell Jack, yeah.
That you want, yes, Jack, who was listening earlier, this is what a vision board is. You cut out things out of a magazine that you want and what you want to aspire to be and what you want to aspire to do in the upcoming year, and you post that up either on your fridge or you put it in your bedroom or wherever you want to be reminded of the goals that you have set for yourself in the upcoming year. And people are now, because of social media being so big, people make these vision boards and then they post photos of the vision board on Instagram or on Twitter, whatever it may be. So I'm asking you, Adam, what would you cut out of a magazine to put on your vision board for 2020 if you are a Chicago Bears fan?
I would put a tight end. It would just be like a cutout of a football player. An avatar of a full football player. Okay. So no actual face,
right.
But it would say tight end.
Just a body?
Just TE1. It would be tight end, yeah. And then Jalen Hurts would be on there, and an NFC championship would be nice.
Oh, that would be beautiful. Something
trophy
to aspire
yeah.
to,
I would cut out the picture of Urlacher holding up the NFC championship trophy, and I would just put Khalil Mack's face on it.
On Urlacher or on the trophy?
No, on Urlacher, because it has to be a current player holding up the trophy.
No, it could be to aspire to be like Brian Urlacher.
Okay,
maybe you would like Roquan Smith to be the next Brian Urlacher here for the Chicago Bears.
All right.
I agree with you. The Jalen Hurts, I think I would cut out a photo of Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma, and I would put that on my vision board.
Alabama, whichever.
Would Trubisky be on your vision board? Would he be there?
No.
Would a visor from Matt Nagy, would that be on the vision board?
Yes, because I want Matt Nagy to be himself. I want him to be you, or whatever it is he says.
Oh, maybe you cut out the you would just type up BU and put that on the board?
And I want to have a quarterback who doesn't walk out of bounds 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage when he doesn't have a guy open and not make stupid mistakes. That's what I want. And I want Matt Nagy to have a quarterback he can wake up with, or wake up and be like, I can run all my plays with this guy. This is going to be great.
Okay, so if we all get the concept of what a vision board is, in 2020, your Chicago Bears vision board, what would you like to put on the board? And we'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. First up is Joe in Worth. Joe, what would you put on your vision board for 2020 in the Chicago Bears?
Well, first off, I got to say, I agree with Shefty and Wilbon when they came on last week. And I think if there's going to be a fix, it's going to come from Mitch. He's going to have to do it. I really don't think they're going to do anything crazy in the offseason. But the two picks that I have for somebody to fill in, the first being Colin Kaepernick. He's super cheap. We could probably pick him up for nothing. He came from a system that was almost identical to what Nagy's trying to run. And then the second was, you guys just like threw it all over the radio. I didn't know, but I just heard about Jalen Hurts might go in the second round. So if we could get him, I mean, that would be unbelievable. But first, if that doesn't work out, why not Kaepernick?
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I think with Kaepernick, the thing to look at there is a team has to be willing to actually give him a chance. And it seems to me that teams in the NFL are not willing to give him a chance. Like, I'm not bothered by, oh, there's going to be a lot of media attention.
The teams don't
have to deal
with that stuff.
There's media attention with many teams in the National Football League. So it's not that big of a deal.
Well, the Bears just turn the TVs off anyway.
Let's go to Massey in Bradley. He's on ESPN 1000. Massey, is there something you'd like to place on the Chicago Bears vision board for 2020?
Well, we'll just make it simple, an offensive line, I guess. You know, not so simple, but that would be the main start. Hey, on this Khalil Mack thing, you know what I'm really tired of hearing of is the excuses. Last year, he was the second coming of Lawrence Taylor, and he was chirping and all this stuff after the season, what his accomplishments was going to be this year. And all I hear this year is, well, they're scheming against him, and he's got two guys on. You know what? Lawrence Taylor lived with two guys on him the whole time. So you can't have it both ways. I'm not impressed with Khalil Mack. I think he just had a career year, and I think he's probably average at best.
Hey, Massey, if you could go back in time, would you make the trade for Khalil Mack?
Well, you know, that's a hard thing to say. They gave up a lot. We don't have a first-round pick, so I don't know. You're right. I don't know. It's hard to say. It really is hard to say, though.
All right, Massey, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Junior listening on the TuneIn app. He's in Washington State. I think he's at Washington State University. Junior, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
No, I was just calling, man. Obviously, I'm going to sound biased on my vision board. It's, well, more than that, I'm making it reality. I'm halfway. I'm in between Vegas and Phoenix right now. I got some sunglasses and a real nice disguise for Ryan Pace tonight at the Cheez-Its Bowl. Come watch my dude, Anthony Gordon. I know I keep bugging you guys about it. I know Abdallah thinks I'm nuts.
You do.
He is a baller. He's had one of the most prolific passing seasons in college football history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take, what, like a six-round pick? Some fourth-day pick? What's the harm? And I got a lot of money on it, so let's hope this all goes well. What do you guys got?
You got the over or the under, Junior.
Oh, come on, man. Always go the over.
Over, always. I love Junior.
Thank you, Junior. Thank you for
Good
listening,
luck tonight.
My friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You know what's funny about that? The best part about that is it's not the Sun Bowl anymore. It's Pace in disguise at the Cheez-Its Bowl.
Yes. The Cheez-Its Bowl.
Let's go to Dan in Mount Greenwood. He's on ESPN 1000. Dan, now, if you have your vision board for 2020, you're piecing together all the things you want to aspire to be, the Chicago Bears, what should they do next season? What would you place on your vision board for next season?
Hey, boys, I would have Nagy stop doing the play calls. I would keep Mitch. I think he's a good quarterback.
and then get some O-line help in the draft.
Dan, did you hear Abdallah smack his microphone when you said that Mitch is a good quarterback?
No, but I think he is. I think people are a little bit too hard on him.
But what have you seen that makes you think he's a good quarterback, Dan?
I don't know. I guess I'm just a big homer, I guess.
Dan, that's awesome.
That's okay, Dan.
That's great.
Thanks for calling, Dan. That's great.
I was getting ready for the truthers to come out. You know, you and I here on ESPN 1000 2 years ago, we were the first ones to kind of put it out there that there are Mitch Trubisky truthers out there. Mm-hmm. And that they're out there to tell everyone that Trubisky's the next greatest quarterback in the NFL. Yet he doesn't show us ever that he is actually capable of doing said thing. And I thought Dan was going down the path of the truthers, but instead he just admitted it. No, I'm just homer. Homer. Like, man. I like that. I appreciate that Dan admitted that to us. Let's go to Mike in Elk Grove Village. He's on ESPN 1000. Mike, you want to talk Bears? What do you think?
Hello, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What's up?
Now we need less fans like Dan that put up with this garbage that we call professional football team. But my vision board would be new owners. It stems from the top. As long as we have these people in place and Ted Phillips is in charge, people like Ryan Phillips get hired and make these decisions and never get fired. It's terrible. It's a badly run organization, and we need a change at the very top. That's my vision board.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate the phone call. I agree with Mike because as a Bears fan my entire life, living in this city my entire life, you see what other franchises that are terrible, what they do when a new owner takes over. And I feel like some of the issues could be pointed in the right direction if you had a different ownership group.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's a family that owns the team that, you know, it's not going to change anytime soon. And the other thing that I would add to that conversation, I know it's a bigger piece of the conversation, but like, what are you going to do in the next 10 to 15 years with the stadium? You know, the team doesn't own their own stadium. There are teams in the National Football League. A part of why on the Forbes list you see the Cowboys and the Patriots and you will see the Rams at the top in years to come are because of the stadiums they own and operate and the money they can make off of owning their own stadium. You know, you look at what's going to take place. Atlanta only had, 25 years in between stadiums with the Georgia Dome, and then they have the new Mercedes-Benz Dome that they plan. At some point here in the next 10 years, conversations are going to start popping up on what to do with Soldier Field once again. Because why? They didn't put a roof over it the last time they renovated it. Second of all, if a new owner came in and said, I want to profit more than just off of football games. Isn't that a discussion that we're going to have in the 2020s in this city, in sports radio, in being sports fans and wondering what's going to happen at Soldier Field?
Yeah,
they're going to have to do something in the next 10 to 15 years, won't they?
That's just the way
sports business kind of works nowadays.
I think that you have to add more butts to the seats. You know what I mean? You have to add more seats because you have to be able to, you have to go somewhere. Like, Chicago should be hosting events for football.
Right. Outside of football games.
Yes.
So the fact that you can't partake in Super Bowls, you can't partake in Final Fours or other big sporting events, that's a problem.
If you want to go to, it's close, so it's doable. Do yourself a favor. If you like going to football games in general, go to Lucas Oil in Indianapolis and see where the Colts play. It is a magnificent stadium, parking all over, easy entrance, no lines. It was great. Such a good place to see a game. That's kind of what the Bears need. The Bears need something indoors like that with windows so you have the outdoor experience kind of. It's great. You have that. You can host everything. They host Big Ten championship games there. They host everything there. You have to have something like that that the Bears can make more money off of.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah sitting in for Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. We are talking about your 2020 Chicago Bears vision board. If you don't know what a vision board is, it's something to inspire you. So you cut out little pictures and you put them on this piece of paper and you post it in your house so you can remind yourself, this is why I want to aspire in the next upcoming year. It's what people do this time of year. So we're asking you what you would put on your vision board. Let's go to Rocky in Valparaiso. Rocky, what would you put on your Bears vision board?
Hey, gentlemen, the first thing I would have on there is a picture of one Tommy Waddle. We've got wide receivers that cannot hang on to the ball. They also don't seem to know where the first down marker is. Tommy was excellent at both of those. We need somebody to get these guys in line. I think he'd be great.
Well, I mean, Waddle's at the top of all of my every board that I have. Vision board, draft board. Emery board.
Greatest guy ever board.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy over the middle board.
I have a picture of Waddle right by my door, and I high-five him as he hits him going like, and it works.
Can I make a comment about Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, of course.
I think they're going to need to replace him, but I think his lack of progress has more to do with how he's been used. I mean, we were talking just a week ago about how Baltimore's doing with their quarterback, and doing him the way he plays the game. Mitch is not going to be a pocket quarterback. That's obviously what they want, and that may be why it took him so long to start in college, but it seems like when he's moving, he does a lot better job. And Nagy kept saying at the end of last year, we need to keep him in the pocket. I think it's been coaching is why he hasn't been running as much, and if he's not moving, he can't throw the ball.
Appreciate the phone call, Rocky. Chris Bleck and Am Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Do you think that's it? If the play calling was different, that Trubisky would be a better quarterback?
No.
That's it? That's all you have for me there?
Well, no, because we've seen it. Like, Trubisky's had to, Nagy's had to scale back the playbook both years now. And no matter what he does, whether it's trying to go to his first read or rolling him out, yeah, he's decent on rolling out, but he still makes mistakes. No matter what they try to do with Trubisky, it works for a little bit, and then teams are like, oh, you're going to do that? We can stop you doing that. We can stop that easily.
Today's been a fun show, and we have a gift for the listeners, aww, right? We have a 4-pack of tickets to the boating, sailing, and RVing show at McCormick Place. Adventures await at Progressive Insurance Boat, RV, and Sales Show, January 8th through the 12th at McCormick Place. Visit boatshow.com for tickets. Caller number 4 to 312-332-3776. You get a 4-pack of tickets to the boating show at McCormick Place, January 8th through the 12th.
The boat show.
Yeah, yes, the boat show. Yes, correct. Let's go to Patrick in Wooddale here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I love the show.
Thanks, man.
You guys are awesome. You guys definitely need your own show, like, permanent, like, during the week, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, pal.
Real quick, Ryan Pace should be fired on the 2017 draft alone. Forget what Trubisky, everybody knows about Trubisky and who we passed on. In the second round, we took Shaheen. In that same draft, Janu Smith, Gerald Everett, and George Kittle were all drafted after him.
Preach.
We took Cohen and Carson.
We lose Patrick there? I think we lost Patrick.
He's going to make the point that Carson was available, Alvin Kamara was available. He's making the same point that I've been making for a while, that in that 2017 draft, you took Kittle was available. I know people didn't scout him and people didn't see he was going to be this, but you had better options at tight end, and you chose to reach and take some guy out of Ashland that's not even a D1 school.
Joe and Indy listening on the TuneIn app on ESPN 1000. Joe, what would you put on your Bears vision board for 2020?
Before I get to that, I wanted to basically agree with Abdallah. Lucas Oil Stadium is a great stadium. I have a lot of football games there. I graduated college in that stadium. So, beautiful stadium. But my 2020 vision board is a tight end production and offensive line production. Because I'm a Trubisky truther. And you asked the other guy why he believed that. I believe it's because the way he can – like in the Green Bay game, goes to his left, throws right, hits Ridley right in the numbers. I've heard so many times from broadcasters saying, beautiful throw by Trubisky, great throw by Trubisky. So I feel like while Nagy I wanted Matt LaFleur. I wanted Matt LaFleur instead of Nagy at the time, but that's neither here nor there. But for 2020, I want to see the offensive line, Leno on the left tackle, White Hair Center, and Daniels left guard, because the first 8 games they flipped Daniels was playing center. Whitehair was playing left guard.
And then they fixed it halfway through.
And Trubisky in the running game did get better because, I mean, when you don't play preseason games, the first game against Green Bay, 10-3, I mean, that's when you had the first real game with Daniels at center and Whitehair left guard. And
All right, Joe, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate what you're saying, but we're running short on time. Thank you for listening today. Thank you to the Philly Godfather, to Adam Rittenberg, to Doug Kazarian, to Mike North, to Randy Merkin and Sean Davis for producing today's show. Coming up next, Abdallah, the Pinstripe Bowl, Woo! Michigan State against Wake Forest. Hear all the action right here on ESPN 1000. For Black and Abdallah, have a great day and enjoy the college football today and tomorrow on ESPN 1000.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you?
What?
No high from you?
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.